I think I've said more than once. In 86 and 87, I was called to Rome by the Holy Father's secretary. Spent 2 hours on each occasion. And my message from the Holy Father to his private secretary was, do everything in your power to restore, hear the verb, restore faith among Catholics in the real presence. Otherwise, according to the secretary, the Holy Father fears for the survival of the Catholic Church in America. The Catholic Church is where there are still believers in the real presence. And with Rome's encouragement, we then started a private publication for bishops only on Eucharistic adoration. And one of the paperbacks that is not in general circulation, it was asked by Rome to write, distributed to bishops, on the history of the real presence. Everything is locked up in that mystery of faith. Those who believe in the real presence believe in all the other mysteries of our faith. Canon number 7. If anyone says it is not permissible to keep the sacred Eucharist in a holy place, but must necessarily be distributed immediately after the consecration to those who are present, or it is not permissible to carry the Eucharist respectfully to the sick, let him be anathema. That's why 6 whole nations were lost to the Catholic Church in the 16th century, because bishops and priests lost their faith in the real presence. Did I say lost? Abandoned. And I mean this with all my heart. The main reason why I, how shall I say, keep coming. By the way, thanks for coming too to our classes in Ann Arbor. You people have freedom that we priests do not have. All the prudence and charity you can muster should be used. But as Catholics, you got certain rights. And among the rights that you have is to be taught the full, undiluted Catholic faith. That's a right, which carries with it the corresponding duty on the part of the Church's teachers to teach you the full, unqualified Catholic truth. Canon number 8. If anyone says that Christ present in the Eucharist is only spiritually eaten and not sacramentally and really as well, let him be anathema. You might see his repetition. Well, in dealing with heretics, you've got to cover every track. Find an out here and an out there. In other words, Christ becomes present the moment the words of consecration are pronounced. Question. And by the way, there will be questions. I'll actually leave some extra time for questions. That is, at the end of the two classes. The Holy Eucharist is the whole Christ, the moment of the consecration, is completed. The priest must intend both consecrations. If he does not intend both consecrations, there is neither consecration. Moreover, Christ is, provided the priest intends, to consecrate first both the bread and then the wine. Christ is really present after the first consecration. He is the whole Christ, not just his body, but also his blood, present in the consecrated host. Yes. He is the whole Christ, and not just the blood of Christ, present in the consecrated wine. Yes. Why then the two consecrations? I've got to plan my schedule for this semester. I would cover, of course, all the sacraments for the end of the semester. But the double consecration signifies what happened on Calvary. Christ bled to death. He could not die. Death from any sickness or illness, because being the old holy Son of God in human form, he contracted no sin. But being human, he could die, and he did. The only way that Christ could die was by bleeding to death, which he did. The Mass, therefore, which hope to find time for explaining more about the Mass too, but very sketchily, the Mass is the sacrament, not just sacrifice, sacrament of the Eucharist. The moment that double consecration is completed, Christ, who died on the cross, and hear it, the essence of sacrifice is not, say in Christ's case, his bleeding to death. Sacrifice we define in theology as the surrender of something precious to God. The surrender of something precious to God. That's sacrifice. Well, in the Mass, Christ is no longer capable of either suffering or dying. Can he, however, still offer sacrifice? Yes. Because what is present on the altar? How many wills does Christ have? How many wills? Two. His human will is on the altar. And our faith tells us every time the double consecration is enacted at Mass, Christ willingly, he makes an act of the will. He is ready to die if he could, but being now glorified, he cannot die. But Christ is willing to die. Better, he makes an act of the will wanting to die, of which then the book consecration signifies Christ's willingness to die. Finally, if anyone denies that each and every one of Christ's faithful of both sexes is bound, when he reaches the age of reason, to receive communion at least every year during the Paschal season, according to the command of Holy Mother Church, let him be anathema. And listen. At the bottom you notice DB 437. That definition number 9, which says that every Catholic is to receive communion at least once a year, 350 years before the Council of Trent, to be exact, at the Fourth Lateran Council, date 1215 A.D., 1215 A.D. The Fourth Lateran Council defined that every Catholic is obliged to go to confession on reaching the age of reason and receive Holy Communion, consequently in parishes or dioceses in which first confession is delayed until after First Communion, that is contrary to the mind of Christ and contrary to the mind of the Church. Holy Communion, therefore, is an obligation as you realize at this point. I would like to wrap up the content that I've given you in the next few minutes, but I can tell you the full subject of the Holy Eucharist would not be exhausted, and I mean it, in 2 years, 2 years of Eucharistic theology, 3 classes every week, 15 classes each semester. Because the Holy Eucharist has Christ made plain, remember, in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. In the 3rd chapter, Christ tells us we must be reborn of water and the Holy Spirit. In other words, to reach heaven, we must have sanctifying grace. That is why baptism is necessary for salvation. And can we say that a person can be saved without baptism? Well, yes, we can say a person can be saved without baptism. Mother Church has never, and she will never, retract Christ's teaching. Baptism is the normal way and hear it. Baptism is conferred to receive the supernatural life. But baptism is also conferred in order to receive the Holy Eucharist. Question. Do you shake your heads this way or this way? Say, pardon me, Bill Clinton goes to a church, Catholic church, in Washington. He does not believe in the real presence. Does he receive Jesus Christ? Yes. What are the two conditions for receiving the Holy Eucharist? First is baptism, and the second is the state of grace. And consequently, baptism is conferred indeed to give us the state of grace at the beginning, but it is conferred so we might receive the living Jesus Christ, his body into our body in Holy Communion. And that is why all this needs to be said. And by now, you can read all kinds of writers to the contrary. For the first time in Catholic history, the Church not merely allows or tolerates, but encourages, hear the verb, encourages the reception of Holy Communion twice on the same day, under Pope John Paul I for 1900 years. The only people who were allowed to receive Holy Communion twice a day were who? Those who were dying and could then receive a second time before they died as viaticum. But now, twice a day, provided the second communion is received at Mass. And the reason behind it? Hear it. As we may be sure, no human being on earth knows better than the Vicar of Christ. The deluge of evil that has swept over the world in our day. I'm not sure I've ever said this publicly, at least of all being taped. But I think I may. Now, quoting you, Cardinal Ratzinger, about the conditions of the Church, unless something drastic happens, unless miracles of conversion are worked by God. Quoting Cardinal Ratzinger, I would not be surprised if all the Catholics of the whole world could be put into St. Peter's Square. Only those who are both priests and teaching priests and this sinner working for the Holy See, believe me, if ever if ever we need it, Jesus Christ on earth, and begged him on bended knees to work the miracles of conversion. What we see already going on. We'll continue. Praise God. The words I'm sharing with you on the Holy Eucharist will bear fruit. As I told the people in Vancouver yesterday, God wants you to be apostles of the Eucharist. A deep faith yourselves. Live that faith. Pay for the faith. Spread the faith. And of course, be ready to suffer, and what joy that would be to die for this faith. Amen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
And now a 15-minute break, right? Then we'll go on to the Acts of the Apostles. Depending on the time we have, we might pick up, first of all, many questions that we can get. And